The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. You're in the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. This is what we're tracking this morning. British MPs have had their say in the indicative votes, which, well, the aim was to try and find a solution to the Brexit issue. Now, it didn't go quite as planned. And in fact, it was a spectacular display of indecision. None of the proposed options for Brexit have secured clear backing. There were eight options that were submitted for MPs to vote on. And these are the options. The first one, leaving with no deal. Now, not surprisingly, that was voted down. In fact, here's House Speaker John Bercow announcing the results.
I can now announce the result of today's recorded votes on motions relating to the United Kingdom's withdrawal from and future relationship with the European Union. In respect of no deal, the ayes were 160, the noes were 400. So the noes have it.
Okay, majority there for the noes. Being part of a common market 2.0, that was the second option. The third option, if the UK wanted to be part of the European Economic Area, or EEA, and European Free Trade Agreement, which unites the EU member states into an internal market governed by the same basic rules. Option four was to be part of a customs union. Option five, opposition party Labour's plan, which included close alignment with the single market and protections for workers' rights. Then came one of the big ones, option six, whether MPs wanted to revoke Article 50. Now, this was the decisions MP came, or rather, this was the decision MPs came to.
In respect of revocation to avoid no deal, the ayes were 184, the noes were 293. So the noes have it.
So MPs also decided that they didn't want to revoke Article 50. Now, option seven was a second referendum.
In respect of confirmatory public vote, the ayes were 268, yes! The noes were 295. Yes!
Barely there, okay? House Speaker John Bercow speaking there, saying that there'll be no second referendum or public vote in the UK over Brexit. And of course, option eight is the Malthouse Plan B. Now, all this came on the back of UK Prime Minister Theresa May saying that she will step down if MPs pass a Brexit deal in order to do what is right for the country. So what does this mean for the United Kingdom? On the line to help me break all of this down is Aidan Mordecai, Director of Delegations for Dialogue. Good morning, Aidan. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
So this decision, Aidan, this indicative vote, you know, you hand the power, or the MPs deciding they want to take control of the Brexit process, but they can't decide on any of the options. When you heard all of this, what was your initial reaction?
I think it sums up the Brexit process so far pretty well. There's really no clear direction going forward. There's no clear consensus of what the country should do going forward. And it's really indicative of this whole process.
It really does highlight the chaos in the UK Parliament. So no clear outcome. Aidan, do you see any logical way forward from this?
In the face of it, no. And this is what has given the Prime Minister this incredibly difficult job over the last couple of years. There's no way to compromise these two views, one to remain or one to leave in a hard Brexit, as it's called. And as the votes have shown, the options on the table is wide varying degrees of agreement. So at the moment, there's no clear way forward, I think.
There were eight options that were tabled. And, you know, even though every option was rejected, there were two options that stood out, lost by at least by the least amount, rather. And it actually received more votes than Mrs. May's deal, which received 242 at the last vote. Now, these were the Permanent Customs Union. That one got 272 votes for. The second referendum option got 295. Aidan, should we be reading into this, or does it come as a surprise that this one was so close?
We should be reading into it, and the MP should be reading into it. Whether they will is another question, of course. It is a bit of a surprise that the second referendum which wouldn't be exactly a rerun of the first referendum.
Yeah.
There would be change in the wording. It would be more of, should we confirm Theresa May's deal or have no deal, or should we stay in the EU? There will be more clear than the first referendum. And like you said, they got more votes than Theresa May's proposed deal. So possibly we should be looking at that. But it doesn't seem like the government has looked at the fact that it's got more votes and taken it with any weight and trying to plow through with its original deal that it proposed.
I'm speaking with Aidan Mordecai, Director of Delegations for Dialogue. He's on the line helping me out with the latest developments on Brexit. Actually, I just want to stick a little bit with this proposal for a second referendum, which of course got rejected. Why aren't people saying that based on the first referendum, the lack of information that the British people have, and more importantly, the lack of people the amount of people who did not turn up to vote in that first referendum, isn't that basis enough to have a second referendum?
Logically, I think you make a great point. And we're now 2 years on, we have a lot more information exactly what a Brexit would look like. It would look like Theresa May's deal. You know, this is the one that has been agreed to the EU. Or it would look like a complete no deal. Or it would look like a reversal of full 50.
Mm-hmm.
So now we could have actual clear options for the public to vote on in a more informed manner. However, to do that would also be almost critical embarrassment, at least for the current government. I don't think it would be a possibility under Theresa May's administration and probably under any Conservative administration right now. So there's still a lot of steps, I think, for that possibility. And the fact that Labour also don't see it as their first choice makes it also increases, I guess, the decreases the likelihood of this happening eventually.
And the talking point, of course, has to be Theresa May offering to resign. Well, not saying that she's going to resign. This is on condition that, you know, they back her deal. We saw this coming a mile away, but now we've got prominent Brexiters, the likes of Boris Johnson, Jacob Rees-Mogg. They've come out to say that they could back this deal. Why do you think they have changed their mind? Is that really a sweet carrot, Theresa May's resignation?
I think at this point, Boris Johnson's intentions are pretty clear. He's not very transparent at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the top job. He doesn't want it while it's negotiating for Brexit. He only wants it after that extremely difficult, almost impossible job, I would say, exists. And so that's why he changed his mind. And I think he's pretty flexible on Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that increases his chances of getting that job, he will be in favour of. Jacob Rees-Mogg is an important character because he's the leader of the a group of backbenchers, of course, the European Research Group, self-named, who are quite against Theresa May's current Brexit deal. And he said he would back the deal if the DUP also backed the deal. And that still, and though he is more in favour if Theresa May steps down, from what I understand, the DUP still wouldn't back this current deal. So it would still be very difficult for Jacob Rees-Mogg and the ERG to back this deal.
So you see everyone kind of has their own agenda here. But what I'm trying to wrap my head around is that, so Mrs. May offers to step down. You've suddenly got some interest and possibility that the deal could be back. But in the first place, weren't the UK Parliament unhappy with the deal that Theresa May negotiated to begin with? So in terms of the stability of the UK, if the deal gets passed, does this mean that, okay, we can have some form of stability, or are we just looking at clarity?
I mean, there would be some form of stability because the 2 year transition phase would come into play, which is much the same, which would leave the EU and UK relationship much the same, at least for 2 years while they negotiate a future relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That would give businesses and individuals with investments or stakes in the UK or the EU a little bit of time to plan more and get more information before making any decision. Of course, a no deal would leave the country and everyone involved in a unprecedented position, and it's a situation that, as you could see from the vote, almost everyone is trying to avoid.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to get on the phone and chat with me this morning. I've been speaking with Aidan Mordecai, Director of Delegations for Dialogue. Aidan, thanks so much. Have a good Thursday ahead, yeah?
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.